Alex Ahl joins us, our Sportsnet 650 hockey analyst, who joins us on this soggy hump day. Good morning, Alex.
Morning. How are you guys?
Okay, so clarify. So I'm listening to the second intermission last night. Just confirm, was it Knob Goblin you said, or was it the other Knob Gobbler?
Knob Goblin.
Okay.
When the knob of the stick jumps out and stops a sure goal. Yeah.
Okay. Thank you.
That's Knob Goblin?
I was just needed to clarify. You know, AM radio sometimes, it's a storm. And it was just like, did he just, what? Okay. So.
James, 96.9, HD3, crystal clear.
way to know the frequency. Hey, did you ever use pickle juice? Guys in the room use pickle juice?
For what? I don't know what you're talking about.
Brendan Gallagher says upwards of 8 Montreal Canadiens use pickle juice because it's good on muscle soreness and all that. Shea Weber was the guy who taught them all, and he says that's the rage in the Habs dressing room.
Wow, so. That's why I'm out of the game. Roberto Luongo must be using pickle juice because he's on quite a roll, over 40. But I never heard that before. I never played with Shea Weber though either.
There you go. Hey, so Markstrom goes back to back. We question whether he would. And we just went back to saying, listen, it's not ideal to play a goalie as much as you have to right now, but if that's the situation, he should be able to go through it. Would you play him again, you know, what you have tomorrow, and then you'd look again on Saturday, or would he be wear down? How difficult is it as a guy who played goal in the NHL to play as much as Jacob is right now?
Well, and quite frankly, I played too much, especially with my last season here in Vancouver. I played almost 70 games, and it's an incredible grind. Knowing what we know now in terms of advanced stats and the way some of the very smart people in the game track this sort of information, you're better off playing your second goalie in back-to-backs, not only for that game and the percentages that come about from that in terms of picking up points, but also long-term and maintaining the health of the goalies. I get the decision to play Markstrom in the moment. I fully understand that. Jacob Markstrom on any given night right now gives you your best opportunity to pick up points and win games. But it's about more than just one game, looking at one game in Brooklyn. It's about a big picture. And if they didn't get Richard Bachman in one of those two back-to-back games, I don't know now if there's as much benefit to getting him in Minnesota or at home against Montreal, because at the end of the day now there is some time between games. I know there's travel, but Markstrom also won't be able to benefit from any practice time that he'd be able to get with the goalie coach like he would have if they would have had Markstrom have a day off in the back-to-backs. At the same time, I mean, this cumulative toll of playing a lot is really tough on all the players, but especially the goaltender. And Jacob Markstrom traditionally is a guy that's shown he really benefits from a little break, a little bit of a reset, taking a step back, doing some technical work as well, and keeping his brain fresh. But it's such a hard call in the moment. If you think if you're the coaching staff, you're looking at it now, you haven't got points in two straight games, you haven't got a win in four, so you're looking at it now and you're saying, hey, like, we need to get some points here. Markstrom gives us our best chance. So I'd be surprised if we see Bachman unless it's in a relief situation.
And it's trust too, right, Alex? I mean, I think if I'm Travis Green, I look at Richard Bachman and I just say, you know what? Here's a guy who's essentially been, for the better part of the last couple of years, a minor league backup. You know, Travis wants to win, and you look at the guys that were brought in, and a lot of these, you know, whether it was Roussel, Beagle, Schaller, he wanted guys who compete and a little more snarl. And listen, I don't think Jacob Markstrom's winning a Vezina anytime soon, but at the same time, I would think that Jacob Markstrom, tired or not, still in Travis Green's mind, in my mind as well, gives Vancouver a better chance to win than Richard Bachman would.
Well, that's right. And so when you're looking at it in an isolated one game, one off scenario, yeah, that's definitely the choice.
Yeah.
The one thing that the Canucks are flirting with, though, is this incredible road schedule that they've had to start the season. It's almost unprecedented, the amount of games they've been away, how much they've been out of the Pacific time zone, how few games and days they've spent at home in their own bed. So the one risk is they are one Markstrom injury away from having to recall Michael DiPietro on an emergency basis due to the lack of goaltending depth and in terms of number of contracts, the injury to Demko, the injury to Nilsson. They don't have a lot of other options. So there is something to be said for preserving the one NHL goalie you do have and making sure that he's, or at least minimizing the risk of injury for him. And during the second period, Markstrom stumbled last night, and it did look like he was in a bit of pain. And I was wondering what was going to come next. It could have been a fascinating story to follow for the Canucks.
is Alex Aull. Join us on the starting lineup. Alex, shockingly, 5:30 this morning when we signed on, we argued, and it was about this schedule and the road trip. Seaball thinking, hey, all that time together, they've gotten to know each other well. And I agree to one point, but it's almost been too much. You get to know everyone, and they did on that first road trip, and here they are again. And you mentioned it. They've played more games. They've played more games in the Eastern time zone, 9 of them, than they have 7 in the Pacific time zone. Are these guys tired of each other and want to get to some kind of routine back home?
Well, the home routine is nice. Everything's easier. I don't know that they're – yeah, they want to get back home for sure, but I don't know that they're tired of each other. I see the negative as the risk of injuries and some long-term injuries, the wear and tear. It's a lot harder on the body. So you just and the player in the moment doesn't realize it, that maybe they're slowly tearing a muscle, and it's just the cumulative effect of this over time can be quite draining. And you guys mentioned right before I came on when I was on hold that you're talking about, well, if they can get through this stretch, you know, this next little 10 days or so is going to show a lot and see where they're at. And if this is where the wheels fell off last year, yes, if they can get through this and remain relatively healthy and stay about where they're at in the point standings, there is sign that things could move up because they have more home games. The risk is if you can't get through this healthy and there's more injuries, if there's another player that goes down and these guys still are a little ways out from returning, then things can get really ugly like it did last year when the Canucks weren't able to overcome the injuries they did have. That being said, the Canucks have more depth this year, and that's why they're being able to manage these earlier injuries this season. They're able to handle it better and play with a lot more consistency in their game. But last year, that is when the wheels fell off. So that is my biggest concern when I look at the schedule. I remember when it came out, thinking I cannot remember two-week road trips across the country in basically a month. I don't remember seeing that in my NHL career. That seems like something that's really rare to condense it that much all at once.
What's your grade for this team through the first quarter of the season? A, B, C, or D? That's our poll question this morning at Sportsnet 650. Alex, what would you say?
Well, I think it probably depends where you're coming at it from in terms of expectations.
Yeah.
I would say B plus. I like a lot of things. I think big picture, there's a lot of things to like. And I actually love the fact that I'm not willing to give them an A, because it does show that my perspective has changed a little bit. My expectations have changed because they've earned that. You know, when you look at the points left on the table on this most recent road trip, that's disappointing. But at the same time, overall, there's a lot of players trending up in the right direction over the course of the season. Yeah, you can always look at one-offs, and Nikolai Goldobin is a guy who's taking a lot of heat because he was benched yesterday and the bad back check on Eberle's goal. But overall, I would say most people are happy with the progression of Nikolai Goldobin, or in my view, they should be. And I think there's a lot of players like that on this team where even though the production may not be there right now in the moment, there is growth in their game. And that's what we were told this season was all about: development, progress for young players, making sure they can adjust their playing style into something that fits the modern game under Travis Green. And for the most part, they've done that.
You were the Vancouver Canucks' most outstanding player in 2006. I would like you to award at the 20-game mark the Vancouver Canucks' most improved player in 2018.
This one I was thinking it should be easy. It should jump off the page. It's Virtanen, and I would say, yeah, Jake Virtanen, but at the same time, I look at it that Ben Hutton has done a lot of good things,
yeah,
too, and Ben Hutton would be a close second behind Jake.
And what does that say? That look at the contenders for that. You can make a case for Eric Gudbranson too on that one as well.
And Goldobin. I mean, he's proven he can be in the NHL.
I can't say Goldobin just because he's not scoring.
Yeah, that's true. And you know, Nikolai Goldobin is a guy who overall his game is better, but there is a bottom line in terms of production. It'll be interesting to see how much leash he has, especially once Besser and Berchi come back.
Yeah.
And the other guy, no one's going to want to hear this, and I'm not going to put him in a most improved player type of category because of his age. But when you consider the production the Canucks have got to this date this season from Louis Erickson, that's a huge improvement. So when I look at those four guys specifically you mentioned, with Jake, number three on the team in goals, I believe, and Erickson's number three on the team in points, and Hutton and Gudbranson are leading the way on the back end right now with the injuries and tops in ice time for the Canucks defenders. Those are four guys that some people had just completely written off out of the equation for the Vancouver Canucks going forward, or at least wanting to have them around. And they're all giving you something of value. I think that's important, too.
Sportsnet 650.